What's going on out there in Clipperland?
Ooh, it's Monday.
We're back at you. The weekend was...
It was kind of eventful.
It was,
in
yeah.
In terms of the shaving section is packed today, I would say.
Heck yeah, you know it. Anyways, it's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. We're bringing you that fresh, fresh news.
Oh, yeah.
5 days a week. Get at us.
Sometimes six if something special happens.
Yeah, if you're not already, please subscribe on iTunes. You know, Locked On Clippers, the show you're listening to right now. It's worth it. Give a rating and a review. Let us know what we could do better.
Shout us out in the review. We'll say what's up.
Yeah, we will for sure. Also, check us out on Twitter at Locked On Clips, at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler. You know, we're bringing the news in every way possible.
Yeah.
You know, audio, visual.
GIFs.
GIF. A lot, mostly GIF, to be perfectly honest. But we got a heck of a show lined up for you today. It is Monday. Every single Monday, we do the freshies. That's, we kind of really, it started as a rookie status report, and now encompasses kind of all new guys.
Yeah.
That's what we do here at Locked On Clippers. We adapt. We change. You know, very fluid. We're going to kick things off, though, with a little bit of... Oh, we are kicking off with the freshies.
Yeah.
Wow. Look at us. We're really doing it, man.
Oh, yeah. Throwing curveballs.
And then we're going to be talking a little bit about Patrick Patterson. We got the rankings from SI's Top 100 to talk about. We got three guys so far in the bottom half of the Top 100.
Yeah.
Which... is very confusing to say.
Yeah, for
but,
sure.
But when the rest of the list is released, I mean, I think we'll have even more guys.
Let's hope so.
And then we're going to be wrapping up, as we said at the top, with shavings, which is our off-season daily thing. It might even carry over to the regular season.
Who knows?
Anyways, it's where we just kind of find random news stuff, all Clippers related, mostly.
Mostly.
And we dig in. So without further ado, let's do this.
Want to give a quick shout-out to Indochina first, though.
Indochino,
excuse me. It's the world's most exciting made-to-measure menswear company.
It really is.
This week, our listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $369.
Which sounds like a lot of money, but is a really, really good deal.
It is much nicer than any suit that I have for a much cheaper price than I probably paid for my not-nice suit.
If you live in LA, too, they have a physical store that you can go in and get measured up. You don't have to do it yourself.
There you go.
They look great. They feel great.
Yeah.
I'm wearing one right now. That's an absolute lie. But I would be if my job was serious enough. So shout out job recruiters.
Check out Indochino.com and enter the code LOCKEDON, all capital letters, one word, at checkout. So let's get into this freshies.
Yup.
Today is kind of a slighted version of freshies.
Okay.
I feel like we have two guys on our team who maybe aren't getting as much respect or... kind words when spoken about, given to them. I'm talking about Patrick Patterson and Mo Harkless.
Got to agree.
It feels like it's been a very lukewarm reception for two guys. More so the Patrick Patterson, I will say. Mm-hmm. At least from what I've seen on Twitter and whatnot. It seems like a very lukewarm reception. We haven't even seen the full team play yet. Seems like there's a bunch of hate when people talk about these two guys. Anytime Iggy gets brought up, one of these two guys or both of these guys is always thrown in as... you know, well, we should just trade this guy straight up for Iguodala, which salary stuff aside, none of that even works. But it just feels like there's some undue disrespect going towards these guys. And it feels kind of odd.
I agree. So for me, Patrick Patterson, I mean, like, it wasn't a signing that excited me, you mm-hmm. know? But I think it's a stretch. It's a super stretch to call it a bad signing.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not like he's some guy who wasn't in the league, and you know, we're just grabbing him. Mo is only 26 years old, and by my approximation, has really had a pretty successful career thus far.
He's been pretty good.
He's been in the playoffs, I'm pretty sure, every single year he's been in the league.
Yeah.
You know, he's a part of a Portland team that made a Western Conference Finals.
Yeah. He knows how to play within a system, obviously.
Yeah. My only knock on Harkless is the three-point shooting.
Mm-hmm.
His field goal percentage is solid. He is a great defender. He is long and lengthy, so very switchable, which I think fits into... whatever our defensive scheme is going to look like this year.
Yeah.
But he's just another prototypical, like, large wing who can defend multiple positions, which is, you know, what we are as a team right now. So I don't really get that one. And I really dislike seeing the, like, anytime there's any talk of Iggy, it's like, immediately people are like, trade Harkless.
Like, so Harkless is the first piece. We're obviously throwing it on this trade.
Yeah, it's absurd.
Like, no, man. I don't think he made the play. I'm just now checking. He played in Orlando his first 3 years.
Oh.
Might not have made the playoffs.
Yeah, that's my bad.
But anyway, I see what you were saying. The point is still taken about learning how to play within a system on a team that's going to the playoffs, like the Blazers. But yeah, it's almost like a guarantee that anytime we're going to trade for somebody, it's like, all right, so we're obviously throwing Harkless in.
Like, also, and this is why I screwed this up, I didn't realize that he's been in the league for 7 seasons.
Yeah, he knows what
he's
doing.
I thought he'd only been in the league for 4 years. So that's my bad. But. Yeah.
He's a consummate professional.
That is insane.
Yes, he knows what he's doing. Patrick Patterson is the one that I think I see the most just like overt rudeness about, I would say, being on the team.
Yeah.
It's people being like, someone asked us if we would rather have Patrick Patterson or Joe Johnson. And it's like, well, I mean, we have Patrick Patterson, so I'm down to just roll with that right now. And it's kind of weird to ask, who do you rather have?
Also,
he's on the team.
Yeah, also, they play different positions. I mean, Patterson to me is like more of a full power forward, whereas,
yeah,
you know, Joe Johnson to me is like a little bit, he's like small forward, a little bit more switchable.
Definitely.
In my
opinion. So maybe more versatile, but the bottom line is he's on the team. He's friends with Paul George, which I think is a thing where all this stuff with, like, you know, hiring Kawhi's friends or whatever, or however you want to say it. I don't know about other listeners, and I don't know about Will. I'm fine with all that stuff. If your two best players are like, hey, I need you to hire one person to do this, and then maybe sign my other friend who's pretty good at defending, mm-hmm. and maybe not so good at everything else, to make me happy, yeah, I'm signing those guys.
You do it.
100% of the time. We hired Kawhi's friend, who's like coach of popcorn or whatever he does at the last 3 places he's been. Like, I just don't, I mean, we haven't even seen the team play yet. Do you think this is... Where's the faith in the front office? I feel like it's part of it, too. It's that I'm like...
That's a good point.
We're not bringing in bad players. We're bringing in guys, based on our track record, I should say. Mm-hmm. We've brought in guys who maybe some of us don't know how they're going to fit as well. Jermichael Green is an example. I had no idea Jermichael Green was going to be this good for us.
Yeah, I mean, right? I really don't think anyone did.
I think a lot of people miss that. But he worked out great. And I'm not saying either of these guys are going to perform with similar numbers to Jermichael Green. But in terms of impact, in terms of what these two guys can do, I don't see why we don't have faith in the front office and these two guys specifically. They've done their research.
Yeah.
They know the roles these guys need to fit. They're not going to bring them in to go outside of it.
Yeah.
Do you think it's just maybe, I feel like people are always wanting more.
I mean, I think that's...
And the season hasn't even already started.
I think that's 100% what it is. And I think what can happen, I'm definitely guilty of it too, is we can get caught up a little bit in names. Joe Johnson or Iguodala. You know, that name brand is a commodity in and of itself.
Mellow.
Yeah. More so than, you know, your Patrick Patterson. That's not a sexy signing.
No. The alliteration does sound good, but...
Yeah, for sure. But we, you know, we had our big sexy signings.
Yeah. We had two of the biggest
signings. I think that's what
signings.
You'd call the Clippers offseason this year was big sexy signings.
Big sexy signings.
I get that it, yeah, maybe doesn't seem as enticing, but the thing is, man, can we just wait till we've seen the on-court product before we're tearing these guys apart too much? Before we're recommending they be traded anytime there's a whisper of some sort of vet being available?
Yeah, and we, you know, I think the Patrick Patterson, you go back, listen to us the day it happened, we're a little skeptical, we didn't really know he was going to fit. But at the end of the day,
I mean, like,
it's a fine signing.
For sure.
It's like, not a detriment.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I said, like, it. When we talked about it, I definitely wasn't excited about it.
Mm-mm.
And there are things that if you're just looking at stats, Patrick Patterson is a very nitpickable player.
For sure.
But without seeing how he fits into the court scheme, like, I got to be real. It's too early to say.
As long as he's making Paul George happy with being his buddy and he's on the same team, that's all that I figure we signed him for, and it's great.
Absolutely. And if that's all that he provides, worth it.
Fine. Great. I don't know. I'm tired of people saying we need to trade Jerome too. I still think Jerome can do something. I'm not the number one Jerome Robinson. I will say that, but I think trading him is crazy.
He's not going to trade.
He better not get traded. Also, one more quick segment on the Freshies. Patrick Patterson tweeted out he's looking for a Spanish teacher.
Yeah.
If anyone can help him out.
Yes.
Hit him up.
I wanted to respond to it with like a Peggy Hill gif.
The best Spanish teacher of all time.
Yes.
Also the most famous person from Montana, which is pretty crazy. Oh, man. Let us know what you guys think about the Patrick Patterson, Mo Hargis disrespect. This is when I wish we had a radio show so we could take calls from people yelling about Patrick Patterson. And
oh,
Mo
Hargis. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you guys are on the opposite end of the spectrum, you got some angry rants to throw our way at Patrick Patterson about Patrick Patterson or Mo Hargis. Let's hear them.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Send a video chat. I don't know. Send an MP3.
Yeah. What do you got?
Yeah. Hit us up. Coming up after this, we're going to be talking the bottom half of the SI's top 100 list. But first, I want to give a shout out to Locked On NFL. The Ravens and Dolphins attempted to play a professional football game this weekend.
It was great.
It was fantastic for Will's new team, the Ravens. Check out Locked On NFL. Locked On Ravens will have a much more upbeat recap of the game compared to Locked On Dolphins.
Definitely. But shout out Kevin Ostreicher.
Shout out Kevin Ostreicher. Shout out Travis Wingfield. One more time, Locked On NFL. Okay, so the bottom half of the SI's top 100 came out because they like to keep you on edge.
Oh, yeah.
I honestly think they should go the opposite way. Who cares about the top players? I want to see who they rank as the worst player to rank.
Oh, you know what? That's a good call. Also, I think it should go all the way to 450. It should be every
the
player
worst
ranked.
Player in the league. Yeah. Spoiler alert, number 100 is Andrew Wiggins, which is so funny. Dude is just on the cusp of being totally irrelevant. We had some Clippers in the bottom three, or bottom 100, I should say. Beverly was the lowest ranked Clipper at 81.
Disrespectful.
Trez, 77. Which, I'm not mad at that.
I am, but we can keep going.
And then Lou Will at 53.
Love it.
Love it. So let's talk Beverly at 81. Right below him was Marcus Smart. Right above Beverly, Serge Ibaka. I'm thinking this was the section where they're like, oh, shit, we need defenders. Mm-hmm. I feel like they really were like, oh, three defenders right here. They said about Beverly, he's at his best when he shares custody of an offense, not because he can't run his own pick and roll. Some players simply understand their limitations enough to know when to step aside. That quote makes me think he should be higher than 81. Right there.
I agree. I think he should definitely be higher than 81. I think that the comment on sharing custody of an offense is 100% apt. I feel like we've talked about this a lot. I think he should be ranked higher, not only for his defensive skills. I mean, I guess they put Marcus Smart in there, too, so this is how they're valuing defense and guards. But I think that there's an intangible upside that we could see a lot more from Beverly this year than any other year he's been in the league, especially just if he does end up staying in that starting unit as a primary guard.
Mm-hmm.
I think the potential of that, to me, puts him higher.
Would you still say bottom 50 or top 50?
Bottom 50 out of 100
players
in the league?
Out of the top
100
players in the league.
I mean, he's probably in the bottom 50.
I think he's right at like 50 to 45 range.
I'd say, I mean, like to me, what I think would be a fair assessment, and maybe this is like, I don't think this is too subjective.
Oh, what is this going to be?
I'd say like 65, man.
Oh, that's worse than what I was saying. I was saying 40.
Yeah, I know.
That's really, oh, I mean, that's a level, that's a very level headed. I thought you were going to say like 12. No, I think it's fair. I think the intangibles, which is such a hard thing to write and gauge when you don't watch one singular team.
Yeah.
You know, because like we obviously know the intangibles they bring, but if you watch every team, it's hard to figure that out. But
also, how does a workout in Tim's not move you to the top 50?
Dude, I don't know. We're definitely talking about in the shavings, but workout in Tim's, that's plus 50.
Yeah.
That's plus, so he should be 31st.
Yeah.
Based on these calculations. Trez came in next at 77 with Nurkic right below him and your boy Sabonis right above him.
So I guess if this is how you're valuing, I think that these a little bit make sense, and this is just because these guys are kind of like that six-man center type role.
Yeah.
I still think that this number is a little bit low. I think that this number is low for Sabonis as well. But
yeah, I was shocked that Sabonis was 76.
I think that I would put Sabonis in a list like this, maybe slightly above Trez, just because his game is a little bit more versatile.
He can do a little bit more off the bench, for sure. The quote for Trez, which I thought this was actually a really good quote, and it's something that I don't think we've actually talked about fully in depth on this podcast before. They said, it's fair to wonder if we've already seen Harrell in his best possible role, a 6'8 center with great points per minute production. And that's not a, I don't think that's a knock on Trez at all.
No, I mean, I think it's pretty apt. And it echoes, you know, some of the pitfalls of his game that we've talked about before.
Yeah, they don't mention his defense in this description, which I thought would maybe give people a better idea of why he's 77th. Because I think that's what's really maybe keeping him from higher. Not that these lists matter in any way. You know what I'm saying? But, like, for the casual reader.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think to the casual reader or, like, NBA general fan, you're looking at this as a guy who, like, has pretty solid numbers.
Yeah.
You know, great.
The efficiency's there.
Yeah, efficiency's there. Great field goal percentage. Defensively, I mean, like, the rebounding is there. I don't know. Doesn't really jump off the page. I mean, actually, stats-wise, he looks pretty good.
Yeah.
But if you were watching him in a game, like, maybe defensively as a rim protector isn't, like, a force.
Yeah, but then he throws down one giant energetic dunk, and you're like, oh, I totally get it. He's a guy, I was just talking about with Beverly, how I think with Beverly you have to watch every game.
Uh-huh.
With Trez, you can watch 5 minutes of a game and see exactly what he brings to a team.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of... I think that we might have seen Harrell in his best possible role. Like, I do think mm-hmm. that the six-man center coming off the bench is probably the best spot for him to be played.
For sure.
I still don't think that means that we've seen his best yet.
I get it.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's his best role, but he can expand on his numbers and whatnot.
I think he can expand on his skill set for sure within that role. He's a guy, too, that I just think... I hope that this is the year that he breaks into recognition a little bit
mainstream.
More. Yeah.
For sure. I hope so. Someone sent us an article. They wrote about how Trez could challenge Lou Will for Sixth Man of the Year and asked what we thought about it. I don't know, totally agree.
Yeah.
Seemed like it would make total sense. Yeah, one of them was feeding the other one.
Very true. I mean, they were both candidates last year. I just hope that Trez can have another breakout year like last year and elevate himself into that most improved player kind of a conversation.
MIP would be great.
It's really hard. Obviously, last year, I think that from probably the halfway season point, Siakam pretty much had it locked up.
Dude, that was that was one of the crazier races for most improved player, I think.
It was. But I still see
it's not a crazy race usually, I feel like, that people pay attention to.
Yeah, I see it as definitely being kind of a snub.
Fair.
But, you know, really, really tough competition. Yeah. So,
rounding out the Clippers members of the bottom 50 is Lou Will at 53. Buddy Hield just below him. Bohan Bogdanovic ahead of him. Basically, SI just wrote about how great he is at scoring and he's not so good at defense. It was a bunch of cliches I didn't really feel like writing out, if I'm being totally honest. But I think he maybe should have been a little higher in the 40s or something like that. He's just an automatic bucket. He's like the one guy on this list where, like, he does one thing, but he's so good at it that everyone is flustered by it.
Yeah, I agree. And once again, my viewing on all these rankings could change once we see what the top 100 looks like, or the top 50. But I think that this, the 45 to 53 range, I feel like that's pretty apt for Lou Will.
It's just the defensive fall off. It's, like, hard for me to put it any higher than, like, 30 even. You could convince me 30, but, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's just some guys who do more on both sides of the
ball. And I guess another thing that's, like, worth considering in these type of lists is, do you rank this list on legacy, what a player has done so far, or what you think they're going to do this season?
Probably too much of legacy.
That's fair.
Probably just within my brain. Because they mention that even in here. They're like, he's a six-man goat, like all this stuff. So in your brain, with some players, I think it's just so hard.
Yeah.
With some players who have such a vibe and an enigma and a essence around them, like Bev and Lou, those are two guys where you say their names and a whole image conjures in your head.
Yeah.
You have their whole legacy because that's how they play. I think it's hard to maybe separate that out, and I think that's why I'd probably put them higher.
Follow-up on this.
Yeah.
Do you think that we've seen Lou Will's best season from a numbers perspective with the Clippers?
I think so.
Okay.
And that's not to say that he can't do it again.
Yeah.
I think he's done it twice, because the year before last year, he had even higher points.
Yeah. He did play a starting role, though. His usage was, I mean, his usage last year was high. The year before it was higher.
But I think maybe, I guess from a total game perspective, we haven't. I think we might see his assist numbers go up a little more next year, which will make him more seem more like a complete
I don't know
player.
Any way that his assist couldn't go up next
year. Yeah. Unless something truly horrible happens.
Let's not talk about it.
And then so I'm assuming tomorrow or in the next week, the next top 50 will come out. Do we think Kawhi or Paul George gets snubbed out of the top 10? I think PG does. I think they'll put PG something disrespectful, like 12.
If Paul George is out of the top 10, that's absurd to me. A guy who finished third in MVP voting and like...
I agree 100%.
I guess maybe if you're worried about the injury,
they need those clicks, baby.
I don't know.
I'm not saying that I think he's 12. I think he's top 3. Maybe top 5. But
oh, correction. He saw an even higher usage rate last year than he did the previous year, which is insane.
That is insane. So I think we maybe have seen his best scoring numbers, but his assists will go up.
Last year was the highest usage of Lou Will's career at 32% of plays.
Well, let's hope it's in that 27 range or something next year. Kawhi is going to be top 3, right? For this ranking thing?
I mean,
it's got to be 1.
I think Kawhi is 1 right now.
Top 2, and it's not 2, as they say.
That's great.
Coming up after this, we got a pretty packed shavings. Got some old news, got some new news. All right, welcome to shavings.
Great
segue. All right, so where do we start with? Do we start with former Clipper news?
Yeah, let's start. Yeah.
Okay. Former Clipper great Mike Scott, current Sixers GOAT. They absolutely love him.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Mike Scott Hive. We love you, Mike. He attended the Philadelphia Eagles game this Sunday. It was in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Wearing his Washington football team jersey.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? He is from D.C. He is loyal to his team.
He might be from Virginia,
this
but
is
the same thing.
Something that a
DMV
bunch of
area.
People do constantly at games. However, it did not seem like maybe one of the smartest decisions based on the video we saw. There's a bunch of fans.
Wait, which part wasn't the smart decision? Fighting Mike Scott or him wearing the jersey?
Fighting Mike Scott.
Great.
We're on
the same page.
Wearing the jersey, I could see as maybe like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do this, but I am not a 6'8 giant man. People were trying to fight him. Eagles fans were trying to fight him for wearing his Redskins jersey. They absolutely knew who he was. I feel like it's very hard to not know who this man is. He announced he was going to the game. He is 6'8". He is Mike Scott. But there was some footage coming out of some people trying to sucker punch him, basically. And
absurd.
It seemed like a bad decision on their part. From everything we saw, it looked like Mike Scott had maybe been in a few more scraps.
I was
going to
say, Mike
people.
Scott has been in a fight.
Yeah. Mike Scott looked like he had a little more technique than these guys. had some size. There was like 3 guys going at him at once. But
he's 6'8", 237, just like for a reference point. I'm not fighting a regular person with those body dimensions, let alone a professional athlete.
Let alone a professional athlete. Let alone someone who has the protection of the patron saint of Philly, Lou Williams.
Absolutely.
After this incident happened, Lou Will took to Instagram and said he will protect Mike Scott with every resource he has.
Love it.
Bro.
Great to see.
That's scary.
Yeah.
Never has the word resource struck fear in more people's hearts.
Absolutely.
Than Lou Will's Instagram. I mean, look, you can say what you want about maybe Mike Scott shouldn't have worn the jersey into Philadelphia. Whatever. That's dumb.
He's from the DMV area.
Like, you're also allowed to wear the jersey of the team playing the home team. Like, that's absurd.
Also, yeah, like, grow up, man. You can't.
Grow up.
It's not an exclusive stadium.
Yeah.
And I don't know, man.
And he plays for the Sixers.
Yeah, that's the thing.
He's not just some guy.
He plays
for your team. And he's a fan favorite.
Yeah.
They love him.
Yeah.
He shows up to people's like karate tournaments and stuff and like wears local jerseys. I don't know, man. I don't know.
I think it's absurd. I know that like
I think those were Eagles fans and not 76ers fans.
Makes sense. And I know Eagles fandom is like its own whole thing.
We love throwing batteries at people. It's a great reputation to have.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think being a mega fan for your team is cool.
I think
cities that stand for a team is great.
Of course.
But I don't think we need to turn that into bodily harm.
They made a movie about us with the dancer and Robert De Niro just gambling. That's all I know about the Eagles.
Silver Linings Playbook. Shout out Terrible Movies.
Shout out Terrible Movies. Shout out Mike Scott. Show him some love on Twitter. Shout out Mike Scott Hive. Moving on. This also affects Mike Scott, actually.
Yeah.
The NBA has banned the karate style headband. Boo.
This is
a boo from me.
This is a huge boo from me. This is perplexing because I feel like
a personal attack on Trez.
A, it's a personal attack. B, this is just, we haven't seen the NBA kind of try to rein in.
NFL it?
Yeah, we haven't seen the NBA like put these sort of like.
Since the.
Like league-wide restrictions on the appearance of players.
Since the suit gate from David Stern being like, can't wear anything that you want to wear within a suit on the sidelines. Like,
yeah.
Why bring it back for a year, have it be wildly popular?
Yeah.
Everyone loved it, and then they're removing it because it's unprofessional.
Yeah, I don't like that terminology either.
It feels a little charged. Also, Rafa Nadal is allowed to wear one constantly with the Nike logo on it.
Yeah.
Like, other sports can wear it, and it's not unprofessional. How's
Shout
it unprofessional?
Out Nadal. I think he's in the USO final.
How's it unprofessional for the NBA to do it, but not other sports?
Yeah. I don't know.
It's a lame-ass move.
Yeah.
What are they going to ban? And I hate to be this guy, but it's like, what are you banning next? Like, how thick can the headbands be? How thin can they be? Can I wear a wristband?
Yeah.
What about bracelets? Can I wear very flowing bracelets that I got from the mall? You know? Beads? What's next? No.
I think it's weird. It's like the first misstep in a while. You know who I think it affects the most?
Who?
De'Aaron Fox. The guy...
His whole powers are going to be gone.
...travels at light speed. He travels at a speed that was made to wear a ninja-style headband.
And Trez plays with the style... deserved of a ninja style headband.
Oh yeah,
it adds an effect.
So do you think that Trez, what's his rap situation this year, do you think?
I have no idea. I don't know.
Because I also feel like for players with longer hair,
you should be allowed to wear any rap that you want.
Yeah, I think that then you're kind of traipsing into territory that's like, well, why are you even going to touch that?
Yeah, if he needs this to be able to perform like this and keep his hair how it needs to be, let him do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Like, just leave it. It's not like people who didn't have hair to tie were wearing the karate-style headband.
What do you mean? No, Mike Scott was. I mean...
Oh, yeah, that's true.
A lot of people were wearing them. Jimmy, which I don't know that he necessarily needed, but looked good. Yeah, I don't know. I think the...
Let him wear the headband.
The response has been negative, I think. I haven't seen one person who was like, that was a good call, Mikey.
I've never
that
even
was
seen
absurd.
Anyone complain about it.
Yeah.
Maybe Wilbon did at some point. I don't know. It's lame. Let him wear the headbands. And finally, we're going to close the show on one of the most pristine, perfect moments in off-season basketball history, which was Patrick Beverley doing a sand workout wearing seemingly fresh out of the box Timberland boots. If you're listening, you've never worn a pair of Timberland boots, not made to run in the sand.
Yeah, well, I will say this. I do like that they're kind of hard-soled, so you're not slipping in the sand as much. I think we're from a tactical perspective. All right?
Well, he didn't even tie them. These were cash Tims. He was also wearing a beanie. While he was working out in the sun on the sand.
Dude, he's getting a sweat on.
Dude, this was... This made me want to... I ran through every wall in my apartment. I saw this video, and I just sprinted through every single wall.
It was...
I'm so hyped.
It's been a peak of the off season.
It was great.
Yeah, if you haven't seen that yet, it's essential viewing.
How many workouts do you think he does per week in Tim's?
Not enough.
Do you think it's every other one?
I don't know. Maybe it's just outdoors ones. Maybe it's sand-only ones.
Someone was commenting there, like, it's really nice for the picture and all, but hopefully he doesn't get hurt and twist his ankle. And I was like, dude, he's done this before.
Yeah.
There's no way that you've never worked out in Tim's, and then you're doing some sand running, and you're like, you know what? I think it's time to finally try Tim's.
For sure.
Oh, man. Oh, another fantastic thing happened. Trez posted the video a couple weeks back of him working out with a bunch of Lakers players. And someone commented on his Instagram, haha, that's because he wants to be on the Lakers so bad. And Trez commented back at him, haha, nice try, dumbass.
The dumbass.
Yeah, right.
Dumbass. A well-placed dumbass is one of the best insults you could ever really do.
Ain't nothing wrong with a well-timed dumbass.
It's hilarious.
Any other shavings?
Nah, that's it.
That's it. What if we just ended the podcast?
It's over.
It's over. Guys, thank you so much for hanging out and listening. We hope the weekend was fantastic. Tomorrow, we're going to be streaming.
Yeah, we'll be live on Twitter at Locked On Clips. 1:30 p.m. Pacific, right around there. Go ahead and check us out on Twitter. We'll give you the exact time.
Send us some questions at Charles Bachrat. We'll update. Rate us on iTunes. Rate us on Deezer, the French streaming app. Also, check us out on Himalaya and Spotify. Guys, I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks so much for listening.